Good morning.
Good morning.
It just makes me laugh every time. I love y'all just for that. I love y'all.
We're here for
It's not the only thing I love you for, but it's one of the many things I love you for, yes. We welcome you to worship at College Park. It's excited to be together. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First off, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. It's a very simple process. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose, and then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, when you're done, please send it back to where it got started. And we do ask that first person, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Reminder about a couple of things. We are having children's time. Invite the kids to come down and meet me right after the first hymn. Also, Monday morning Bible study as well as book club this week. Normal schedule, things that are happening tonight, this week. One thing that's a little different is our exam pack run. We go to all the college students in our state, and then we mail several out-of-state exam packs. What these are goodie bags, homemade or store-bought goodie bags that we send to the college students to get them through exams. Many of them are running out of food money at the end of the exam, at end of the semester. I've had to take them out to a meal or two, but they love getting a touch, a little gift from home. So if you're able to help us provide snacks, these can be store-bought, crackers, chips, cookies. They can be homemade. If you're pound cake is a good idea. It's just pound cake. You don't want to limit yourself, but that's a good place to start. Pound cake. We do ask you to help us out if you can individually wrap those. We make about 50 of these packs that we send around both here in town and around the country, actually. So we're very thankful for your help with that. We're doing those tonight at 6 o'clock down in the youth room. So if you're able to, many of you have already brought things. If you're able to provide by 6 o'clock this afternoon, that would be very helpful down in the youth room. And I'll be headed out this week delivering those exam packs. Raymond.
As you came in today, you received an order of service, and in that, you saw an envelope. If this is your first time with us, you have no idea what this envelope's for. And I'm going to give you some instructions in just a minute. For people that have received the letter, you understand what's going to happen today. But if you'll take your order of service and look on the second column underneath where it says Sermon Thanksgiving Part 2, there's hymn number 639, and under that it says Harvest Offering. What's going to happen during that time? This is a response. We've gone through the season of Thanksgiving, and this is our Thanksgiving offering over and above the tithe. It's an offering to express our thankfulness, to express our thankful hearts for all that God has blessed us with this year. We started this last year, and we want to continue that. I think it's important for us to acknowledge where our blessings come from. The logistics of how this will work, we want everybody to come who's physically able to. Now, I know some of you would rather not make that journey down the aisle there. Just hand it off to someone. Let them bring it on your behalf. And if you did not come prepared to give today, we still want you to come and place the envelope, even though it appears to be empty. We want you to place it in the cornucopia as a pledge of faithfulness to give at a later date, okay? So we want everybody to come. We want this to be about the whole body of Christ. Again, physically, if you're not able to, we understand that, all right? But the way it'll work is the ushers will be down here helping us, and they'll direct the rows on how they will come. Those on this half of the church here will give in this cornucopia. These on this half will give in this cornucopia. Donna, thank you so much. Was Jean in on this? No, Gene says, no, I was not. Donna, it's a beautiful centerpiece, isn't it? This is real fruit, real veggies up here. That is a gorgeous symbolic offering about God's bounty, how God provides for our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. So thank you very much. It's a beautiful table. It gives us an opportunity to come together during that hymn, present our offerings, and then make your way back to your seat. So like I say, ushers will be here to direct us, choir, balcony. Ushers will be there as well to kind of direct us to go through this time of offering together. Okay? And I say, if you have any questions, just talk with your usher when they get down in your row. Thank you.
Yes, I can attest the fruit is real. And the grapes are good. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're very thankful with your presence today. We would like to give something to you. You've already given us your information on the pew pad. We are thankful for that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers are going to come down the aisles now. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church, and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. It is a good day to be together. It's a wonderful time of year as we celebrate Thanksgiving and we are preparing for the coming of the Christ child. We have much to be thankful for. And in that spirit of things, let us prepare our hearts for worship. you pray with me? Father, it is clear that you have a purpose for us being here already today. Because we need to say thank you today and every day. Because your gifts go on and on and on. May our love for you reflect who you are and what you have done for us. May this time of worship be all about you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. From the I get that reaction all the time. Whoa. Okay. Help. It's a softball. Okay. All right. I need for y'all to stand up. Stand up and face everybody. Face everybody. Like everybody, come up on a step. It's like the three amigos. Y'all come up here. All right. I'm going to point to something and that we need to be thankful for, okay? There's a lot of things we can be thankful for, right? It's Thanksgiving, right? Okay, so I'm going to point to something, and you tell me what it is, all right? What's that?
Jacket.
A jacket? Why should we be thankful for jackets?
So we can be warm.
So we can be warm. Good. I have not prepared them for these. All right, here's a good one. That right there. Hair. Some of us are real thankful for hair. Some of us wish we could be thankful for hair. All right. Hair. Hair keeps us warm, right? On the top of our head. All right. Let me see. Oh.
Shoes.
Why do we need to be thankful for shoes? So when we walk, we don't step on rocks. Good. Or stabbing yourself in the foot. That's right. Sit down right where you are. What are some other things we should be thankful for?
Food.
You just had all these, you went all these places. You had lots of food. Be thankful for. Family. Oh, family. That's right. Absolutely. Thankful for family. Because why should we be thankful for family? They have people to live with and won't kick you out. That's right. That's exactly right. What else?
Clothing.
Clothes. We got clothes that we can wear. What do you think? Books. See, we just named all these things. It's been a minute. It's felt longer, but it's been a minute of all the things that we could just go on and on and on. There's a word that we're going to use today in church. It's called cornucopia. Can you say that word?
Cornucopia.
Cornucopia. That means this morning, you see right here in the middle that has all the really nice fruit and vegetables in it? That is a cornucopia. And it's an idea that God has given and given and given and given and just keeps on giving. And it is shaped like an elf's hat. That's exactly right. See, I told you I didn't prep them. All right. It is shaped like an elf's hat. You know how many things that God has given us that we don't even know about? There are things that have happened that we don't even know about. God loves us so much. And because, just like a mom or a dad who loves their child, they give and take care of us. So this morning, we are participating in a harvest offering. And people are going to come down in a few minutes and put their offering in a cornucopia. Because God has given so much, we're going to say thank you to Him by giving just a little bit back. That's why you see that. That's why we use that word cornucopia. It's an abundance of good things that God gave. Big things that God continues to give. So we need to always be thankful for this, for this, for this, for books, for moms, dads, hair, that's right, head, food, all of those things, because God has given them all. So today, can you be especially thankful? Let's pray together. God, thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. You give and you give and you give because it's who you are. You gave your son in Bethlehem so long ago to show us how much you love us. Help us to be thankful for what you have given and to give back all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job.
What a funny little word cornucopia is, isn't it? Funny little word. Psalm 100. How many of you memorized Psalm 100 as a child? Let me see your hands. See, if I'd asked that question at 9 o'clock, we'd had fewer hands because that was kind of a generational thing. I remember in third grade Sunday school class, Miss Imogene Crawford. I'll never forget that lady because she had us memorize a lot of scripture. And Psalm 100 was one of the first things I memorized as a third grader. And back then, when you memorized something, you got a gold seal that you put on your Bible. Ooh, yeah. Now they want an Xbox or something, but it's a gold seal that I put on there, and we kind of let them hang out on the edge a little bit, where people, when they saw the edge of our Bible, they go, oh yeah, yeah, they got Psalm 100, they got Psalm 23, that looks like Romans, that, you know, so you had those things. Psalm 100 is one of those psalms that is a classic in many ways, and we'll get into it. Let me read it for you. I stumble over it sometimes in the NIV because when you memorize it in King James English, sometimes I have to concentrate to read in NIV. But NIV, it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. NIV, all ye lands. Yeah. Verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Why? For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is one of the most beautiful statements of who God is and who we should be in response to who God is. I am convinced that we are a people who have truly been blessed by God. Amen? We really have. And of all of those, if you put a list together of those who should give thanks to him and praise his name, our name should be at the top of the list, right? Agree? We should be right up there. You see, it's pretty common to make lists. I suspect those of you that have children or grandchildren, you probably have received a list from them recently, known as their Christmas wish list. But today, I want to think about Thanksgiving. You know, the things that we are thankful for. Why is that? Well, we survived Black Friday, you know, but tomorrow's Cyber Monday. We have that left to survive. And Cyber Monday is going to be huge. The people who know these things say it will be, for some reason, it will surpass Black Friday in sales. Cyber Monday will do that. People are doing more stuff at home. And merchants tomorrow are dependent upon one thing from us. All of those are related. I mean, the choir said three things that all relate. Bottom line is, merchants are dependent upon us to be not thankful. They're dependent upon us to want more stuff. Want more stuff. Never be satisfied. I want more. I want more. I want more. You can buy it right here. You can buy it online. You don't even have to leave your house. And we'll ship it to you absolutely free. Yeah. If you think that's free, I've got some land I want to see. But back to our Thanksgiving list. What should that look like? I went through the exercise this week myself. I challenge you to do it this afternoon while it's still fresh, maybe after lunch. Sit down, top 10 things that you're thankful for. Here's what I came up with. And during the course of the week, I moved them around a little bit, you know, but I said this morning, it's got to stay where it is. I don't want to reprint this thing. Okay? Number 10, a house, a home, a place I call home, because I recognize there are people in this earth that do not have a home. They do not have a physical structure to provide physical safety, a place to get in and out of the weather. Number 9, food. We've already covered that. You know, most of us have plenty of food. We don't have to wonder where our next meal is coming from. Number 8, clothes. I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to have clothes in my closet to wear that day. But yet there are people that I will pass going to lunch today that probably the only clothing they have on their body at the time I pass them. That's the world in which we live. Number 7, my country. Even with all the issues we have from time to time, and it seems like all the time, I would not want to live any other place on this planet. Because we have the freedom to come here this morning and do exactly what we're doing here. There's so many places where that is not true. Number 6, my health. I've been blessed with good health thus far in life, but I acknowledge there are people that are not able to be with us this morning who deeply desire to be here, but because of health reasons, they cannot. I've been blessed. Number five, churches. And you say, well, shouldn't you just say church singular because it includes all? I want to be a little more specific because the churches that I have been a member of, as well as churches that I have served along the way, have all had a very important part in my journey that have brought me to this place today. And I'm very thankful for those churches that helped disciple me in my journey. Number four, friends. I mentioned the churches. I have friends still in a lot of those churches that I maintain relationship with. And I am always thankful for the people of God who are friends, who encourage me, encourage my family, who lift us up in times of trouble, who continue to walk with us. I know you feel the same way. Our friends. Number three, family. I am so thankful for family, biologically speaking and spiritually speaking. I'm so thankful for family. That should be near the top of every list. And number two, it kind of went back and forth because you say, well, they're kind of the same thing. But I wanted to be specific because I recognize that I am incredibly thankful for my parents. I have been blessed by God to give me a father and a mother who loved me, who cared for me, who taught me through words and example about Jesus and His love. And I acknowledge, I know that there are so many who have not had that example. So for me, I'm incredibly thankful for my parents. And number one, Jesus. God, Jesus, yes. I mean, that should be number one on all of our list. Why is it? Because no one has ever loved you like Jesus does. I was thankful for my parents. As much as they love me, as much as I love my children, I know that I am not capable of loving to the extent that God loves us, that Jesus loved you so much that He took on your sin and died for you. I can't think of anything else that's more powerful to give thanks for. But you know, even as I made that list, I thought about how many people even know what a thankful heart is all about. And Psalm 100 speaks to that perfectly, that attitude of thanksgiving. Psalm 100 was written for the people of God. It was written for the people of God as David addressed them, as he sung this to them. But it was also written to us. Look at verse 1. It's addressed to all the earth, or all ye lands. It's addressed to all of us. The last verse brings it together, wraps it up, because it says, to all generations. That includes us. This passage is for us. I know some of my peers in ministry, I've heard them say something to the effect of, you know, it's really sad. It's really sad that we are the only country in the world, except for Canada and the Philippines, who has a Thanksgiving Day. I'm like, well, you're not really plugged into world history here, but okay. You know, and I sit there and I smile because I think, I believe every country should have Thanksgiving, but I'm not talking about the fourth Thursday in November. I'm talking about thankful hearts, a spirit of thanksgiving, no matter what your circumstances, giving thanks to God for who He is and how He's blessed all of us. I do think it would be a better world if all of us had a spirit of thanksgiving, but I'm referring to that daily attitude. Daily attitude. Because the basis of thanksgiving is to remember that we got here with the help of God. All of our blessings come from Him. He is the provider. Now, so as we look at Psalm 100, I wanted to break it down just a little bit so you can kind of take something away from here. You know, if you want to jot these things down, I'm going to run through them pretty quick, but it's five commands. Five commands, and it follows the text straight down. The first command is shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout for joy. That literally means to shout with the force of a trumpet blast. That's literally what it means. You know, and you may know people that sing like that or speak like that, but that's what it's telling us to do. Shout with the force of a trumpet blast to the Lord, all the earth. Now, I understand there are times when we need to be quiet, reverent. I get that. And typically when we say that, most of our minds go to prayer time, right? Very few people in Baptist churches anyway shout their prayers. Other denominations, maybe. But in Baptist life, we typically, that's a quiet time. I get that. I understand that. There is a time for that. But there is also a time to rejoice in a loud voice. 60 times in God's Word, it talks about a loud voice declaring God's glory. What about singing? You know, it says they sang with loud instruments and trumpets and drums and cymbals and all of that, making a joyful noise. As a drummer, I can appreciate that. Some say he makes a joyful noise, you know, and that's okay. I'm all right with that. It's scriptural. What about preaching? The prophet stood and cried out in a loud voice. They cried out that Jesus was the Messiah and that he was coming. They cried out about God's judgment if we don't behave ourselves and repent. Even Jesus in the ninth hour cried out with a loud voice so that people could hear his testimony. You see, contrary to some popular belief, the point here is not about volume. It's about what comes from the very depth of your being. It's about what spills out of your spirit of gratitude and your spirit of thanksgiving. Cry out from the depths of our soul. English missionary Roland Allen tells about a missionary that came to him following one of his sermons. And he said this missionary told him about the fact that he was a medical missionary in India. And he went to this very specific region in India where it was known that from the time that they were born to the time they die, they progressively got more and more blind, physically blind. There was something in the environment of that village which made it inevitable, and it was 100%. All of them died blind if they lived long enough for it to progress that far. And he had developed a treatment for this rare condition. And so this medical missionary goes to this village, and as the people came to him, they knew as they were being treated what was happening. That they were being treated so they did not become blind like their father had, and like their grandfather had, and like their great-grandfather had. And so when they walked away from this missionary, they knew that he had blessed them. But not a one of them said thank you. Why? Because that phrase was not in their dialect. Here's what they said instead. They said, I will tell your name. I will speak your name. Everywhere they went, they would speak the name of this missionary who had saved their sight. And I think that's what the psalmist is saying here. Suddenly we should realize that God has been so good to us, we are so filled with joy that we cannot keep it inside of us anymore. From the very depths of our being, we shout with joy unto the Lord and we tell his name. We speak his name to anyone that'll listen or even some that won't listen. We speak his name. We can't help but speak his name. The second command is this: serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say serve the church, although that's noble. It doesn't say serve the preacher, although that's splendid. You know, it says serve the Lord with gladness. I'm not sure that the average church-going believer really grasped that. He's saying, this is whatever you do. Do it with gladness. Sing with gladness. Pray with gladness. Show hospitality with gladness. You know, hold somebody's big packages in line with gladness. You know, take a baby in comfort from a mama that has four kids and she's trying. Do it with gladness. Do everything with gladness. Do it because you know that Jesus loves you. So whatever you do, the command is to serve the Lord with gladness. The third command is, come before him with joyful songs. Psalm 98:4 says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That phrase occurs several times in Scripture. And that I can do. I can do that. But have you noticed, in the first three commands, God said, I want you to be joyful, I want you to shout with joy, I want you to serve with gladness, and I want you to come with joyful songs. So take a moment and just think about whether or not you are really joyful. Think about whether you're happy. You know, we've talked before about happiness is dependent upon your circumstances, where joy is not. Joy is a choice, and it is directly linked to whether you have a thankful heart. It is directly linked. Is there celebration in your soul? Is there delight in your spirit? Is there a thrill in your songs? Or do you just sing because that's what we're supposed to do at this point in the service? The psalmist says, come before him, serve him, sing his praise with joy in your heart. The fourth command is this, know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. You see, God took every bone, every joint, he welded them together with sinew and muscle and covered them with skin and gave us eyes to see. He gave us ears to hear. He gave us brains to think, and he gave us fingers that can pick things up, which is really cool. God made us. He made us inside and out. He made us exactly the way that he wanted us to be. And he made me that way, and he wanted me to be who I am. And that's a mystery. That is a mystery. And I don't understand why, but somehow in God's providence, that's exactly what he decided. He did not want me to be a doctor as I entered Wake Forest to do so. He gave me that message loud and clear. Okay, he did not want me to be an engineer. He did not give me a brain that would be used to invent maybe some sort of really useful, innovative appliance or something like that. He didn't. What he did, he made me to be a minister of people in his name, and he's still making me. He's not satisfied with me. I'm not satisfied with me. He's still working on my weaknesses. He's still fine-tuning my gifts. I am an unfinished product. So what is he making you to be? What is he making you to be? You see, God is still making each and every one of us. He is still working in our lives. God is our maker, and he created you and me in his image. Get a handle on that. That's phenomenal. Therefore, he says, give thanks for what you are becoming, because it is truly beautiful in his sight. And nobody else's opinion matters. Then he says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And people don't like to be sheep. Do they? Why? Yeah, because the stereotype is that sheep are dumb, right? They're stupid. They wander off and get lost. How can you get lost? I mean, you're out there in the pasture. How do you get lost? How do you get lost? Sheep are stupid. No, they're not, people. They're not. That's the stereotype, but I know with certainty from animal husbandry majors that sheep are not stupid. They are followers by nature. That is who God created them to be followers. They're not dumb. They're made by divine design to be followers. So why do we think we have an opinion on this matter? Because God says, you're sheep. I'm your shepherd. Follow me. You're my sheep. I care for you. I'll protect you. I'll lead you where you need to eat and need to be safe. I'll take care of you. Follow me. I'll lead you. The fifth command is this. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Why? Because the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Everybody. See, in the Old Testament temple, it was the symbol of God's presence. The temple was the presence of God. That's what they, so whenever the people came into the temple and they entered the courtyards, they knew that they had come into the presence of God. Now, the temple no longer exists within our religious structure, okay? But the place where we come to worship, whether it's the sanctuary, whether it's in the fellowship hall, whether it's in, you know, some churches call it a worship center, wherever it is, we know that God's there, right? We know that God's here this morning. Choir, amen? We know God's here, But you know what? God's not just here. He walks with you daily. He's beside you when you drive. So behave yourself. Take the God is my co-pilot sticker off of your car. You're embarrassing him. God is with you when you're at school, when you're at work, when you're in line, when you're in the library. No matter where you are, God is with you. He is with you always. He's always there. And that is the real source of our thanksgiving, right? We know His presence. We feel His presence. We are assured of His presence. But I've often wondered, what if God began to treat us like we treat Him? I got a deep sigh on that one. But what if God met our needs to the same extent that we give Him our lives? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we complained when it rained? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for one another? What if God took away His message because we wouldn't listen to the messenger? What if He would not bless us today because we did not thank Him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the same way that we answer His call to service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we refused to follow Him today? Psalm 10, verse 3 says this, O Lord, help us to be thankful that You do not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquity. I thank God today and hopefully every day for His mercy, His unconditional love, and I pray that my life and the offerings of my service and all that I have and all that I am would be a reflection of that spirit of thanksgiving which I feel so keenly at this moment. So what about you? Is that your prayer? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank You. Thank You that You love us so much. So much. Forgive us when we do not respond in like fashion. Forgive us when somehow or another we think we deserve exactly what all those blessings are. Forgive our arrogance and our ignorance. Father, help us to have thankful hearts and allow that to come forth out of the depth of our being so that others know what an awesome God we serve. For it's in Your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen. Would you take your hymnal now, stand with me and sing hymn number 639. As we begin our time of thanksgiving and harvest offering, would you stand with me and sing?
Thank you. you would please read responsively with me. Our response, which is printed in the order of worship, I'll read the light if you'll join me on the dark print. God has shown us the meaning of generosity in the beautiful diversity of creation, in the overflowing love of Jesus Christ, in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. God has abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that honors each other, to serve others with joy, to share our love and our possessions. We praise our God for what we've been given and for what is ours to give.
Good morning. Would you pray a prayer of thanksgiving with me, please? Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. Lord, with it we worship you and give you our whole selves. Please now take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. We pray you extend and multiply its reach and influence. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
He leads me beside quiet waters. He giveth me rest for my days. He guides in the path of his righteousness. He leads.
Scripture says, come before him with joyful song. I think that qualifies. Amen. If you're here today and you would like to respond to what you've heard and experienced, we want to give you an opportunity to do so. It's hymn number 637, and the title of it is Come Ye Thankful People Come. And it's appropriately named, but it can be an opportunity for you to, where you're standing, singing at the altar, speaking with me, it can give you an opportunity to respond however way that the Spirit is drawing you to respond today. If you're not a believer, maybe it's a first-time profession of faith to accept Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, maybe it's to get back on track, living a life that gives glory to God daily, being a more thankful person, expressing that in your daily life. Maybe if you're here and you're looking for a church home, I'd be glad to talk with you. There's many ways we receive members. Be glad to talk with you about that. But I want to give you a chance to do that. Following the hymn and following a benediction and a response, as we leave from this place, we want to give you an opportunity that some of you may be wondering and stressing over. You said, okay, when we came and put the offering here in the cornucopia, you said that was above the tithes and offering. What do I do with this white envelope I still have in my purse or my wallet? What do I do with that white envelope? You'll have two opportunities. There will be offering plates right here if you'd like to place your tithe checks in there. Or also, usher, if we could get one at each door here with a plate. So you'll have them at the doors and you'll have them right here on the pedestals. So you can place your offering in there as an act of response as you leave from worship today. Whatever your response is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Has been a glorious November, hasn't it? It really has. We started the month with with homecoming and then baptism. And I mean, it's been a glorious month of November. It gets even better. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. Let your light shine before men this week so that they'll want to come with you to church next week. Bring somebody with you for the first Sunday of Advent. It is a glorious time around here. If this is your first year in the congregation, Advent is incredibly special. We know that, but here in this congregation, it is a wonderful time together. So starts next week, and live in kind of an anticipation of that sense of peace and joy and hope and love and light and all that happens on those Sundays in Advent. Let's pray together as we go out. Gracious Father, thank you for this day, the blessings of this day, the joy of this time of worship, and we pray that our lives would reflect all of these as we go into the world. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.